With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
On day one, I will commute the sentence of Ross Ulbricht. He's already served 11 years. We're going to get him home.
That was Donald Trump on the campaign trail, and he delivered that promise amid a load of other pardons. So how can you go from a double life sentence for running an illegal drugs black market to being free as a bird? Well, we asked Gavin O'Callaghan from RTÉ News to look into the Silk Road story and how it has all led to freedom for the brains behind it all. Gavin, thank you for joining us this morning, because you were so close to not coming over. I said that I was like, we won't be doing boring news with Gavin. We'll be doing loads of really interesting news.
I didn't say
today.
I wasn't going to come over.
Just said you were going to hold it against me for a little bit. Let's start with the basics, Gavin, because who is Ross Ulbricht?
So Ross Ulbricht, he was born and raised in Texas, and he worked as a bookseller, and he was also a former Boy Scout, and he has a physics degree. So sounds like an innocent enough background until you got into his online activity, because as it turned out, he was also a dark web drug lord on a multi-million dollar international level. So by day, living a normal enough looking life, but behind that laptop screen, he was running a site called Silk Road, which sold drugs, hacking equipment, stolen passports, you name it. Now that site came about in around 2011. And it only ran for 2 years before the FBI managed to shut it down. And in terms of criminal enterprises, it was revolutionary. It was all run through the dark web, which we hear about a lot today, but 14 years ago, that was still a relatively new thing. And to get people onto it, you had to use the .onion domain, which could only be accessed through a browser called Tor. So there was no Internet Explorer or Firefox here. But the main thing with it was that it was completely anonymous. People buying and selling on the site had their details encrypted, and the transactions were made through Bitcoin. So it was next to impossible to trace. Now, Bitcoin and crypto, again, it's something we hear about a lot today, but running a platform on it back then was fairly ahead of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was relatively new. People still don't exactly know how to use Bitcoin, you know, if they're looking to get into it and stuff. So to trade in Bitcoin and to be on the dark web, you really and truly had to know what you were after this. How big was the Silk Road?
So up until its final day, there were 10,000 products for sale on it, and over 1 million sales were recorded over its lifespan. Now, 70% of those were drugs, while there was also hacking equipment, fake driving license services and other things offered. But there was actually honour among thieves, and a line that the site didn't cross, and that line was offering anything that could harm or defraud. So no stolen credit cards or abuse materials, weapons or things like that. But there's probably other places on the dark web you can find it if you go looking. Yeah. But in terms of how big it was, over its 2.5 year lifespan, it generated $183 million US dollars in sales. And Ulbricht himself made around $13 million US dollars in commission on that. And those sales were in Bitcoin, as we were talking about there, which has rocketed in value since. So in today's money, that's $1.2 billion US dollars.
Jesus. It did all come crashing down, very famously. How did Ross Ulbricht get caught?
Yeah, it was a complex investigation, but ultimately the FBI did manage to track him down and arrest them in a public library in San Francisco, of all places. So again, he wasn't really living up to the criminal kingpin stereotype there. And it was actually his own Gmail account that proved key in all of this, because Ulbricht had operated under a pseudonym online, Dead Pirate Roberts, and that's what he used on Silk Road. And while there were others working on the site to help keep it running smoothly, the key to investigators was finding out who Dead Pirate Roberts was. Now, one mistake he made was using his real photograph of himself on fake IDs. So he needed these fake IDs to rent servers to run the platform from. So he gave fake names, but for some reason just used his own picture. And he had also posted under his real name on the real internet as we know it, looking for coding advice for, in commas, a secret website, which again, that drew a little bit of attention. And he had also used his YouTube account, which is linked to his Gmail account, to try and source contacts in courier firms, because he was trying to make the shipments more secure. So these were all, you know, jigsaw identification, you know, people were putting two and two together, but the alarm bells were going off with all of this activity. But lastly, and it was a bit of a breakthrough, Ulbricht also allegedly paid $80,000 to someone to try and kill a former employee of Silk Road. And that someone turned out to be an undercover cop. And the court later heard of other payments he allegedly made in a bid to get people killed. But thankfully, none of those contract murders were ever materialised in real life.
No, and also, if you look a little bit deeper into that, like, he had absolutely no idea what the people he was putting a hit out on looked like to begin with. So even when he was asking for photographs, it didn't matter what they sent him back because he didn't know who the person was anyway. And then he had so much trust in who the, and I quote unquote, hitmen were, that like he was able to openly speak to a cop about all this. I think being that incredibly smart, having the pseudonym of Dread Pirate Roberts, you know, having everything encrypted, having a site this big that in today's money is worth billions, to then get caught out by your Gmail and in a library, it's just not very rock and roll at all, is it? Yep. Sorry, it did all come crashing down as well, Gavin. Like, and then what happened to Ulbrich after he was caught?
But that's it, as you said, like, just get, it comes crashing down in a library, because once they arrested him in that library in 2013, he was sitting there with his laptop, and it was as simple as that. The laptop had all the proof, it was there. So in 2015, he was convicted of multiple crimes related to money laundering and drugs. He was given 2 life sentences, no possibility of parole, yeah, and an extra 40 years thrown in on top just for good measure. And just to add to his misery, he also was told he had to forfeit just under $184 million.
Like, I mean, by the sounds of things, he had a lot of money anyways. So to hand all that over, but you're never going to see the light of day to spend it with 2 double life sentences, the extra 40 years and no parole. That's not what's happening now. That was 10 years ago. He's been back in the news recently because he's been freed. So what on earth is happening there?
So politics. Politics is a funny old game in the US, and presidential pardons are a thing that get bandied about quite a bit. And for Ross Ulbricht, Donald Trump's election to the White House has proved a life sentence saver. And on the 22nd of January, he was granted a pardon and he just walked free. Simple as.
This is absolutely insane. Like, I don't even know if I want to ask this question, but why would Trump side with him? Like, he's the president of the United States. Why on earth is he siding with someone who set up one of the biggest underground drug schemes that there was in the world?
So yeah, politics again. So although for many Ross Ulbricht was a major criminal on an international scale, others actually say he was treated unfairly, and he has a lot of support in the crypto community, as many there saw him as a bit of a pioneer, and the libertarian movement also had a lot of sympathy for him. So for Trump, from his perspective, you know, Ulbricht, he was a tool to garner support. We know he teamed up with Elon Musk, and there's all sorts of love for cryptocurrencies there. But the libertarian angle is quite interesting too. So for those that don't know, after the Democrats and the Republicans, the Libertarians are the next largest political party in the US. And although there's a sizable gap between them and the big two we always hear about, they still have significant pull. And those supporting them believe that Ulbricht's conviction was an overreach by the state. So some would make the argument that getting 2 life sentences plus 40 years is too much, when Ulbricht wasn't actually the main dealer. He just hosted the platform that these deals were carried out on. And it's actually not a terrible argument when you look at other cases. So you say El Chapo Guzman, who's one of the biggest drug lords in history. He was the head of the Sinaloa cartel, and they were deemed responsible for tens of thousands of deaths. You would have to multiply the value of Silk Road by thousands to even compare it to his empire. But when the US finally managed to catch El Chapo, the end result was a life sentence plus 30 years. That's actually less than what Ross Ulbricht got. So Trump had been engaging with these people on the campaign trail, and to cement their support, he made a promise that he would free him. And as we've seen now, he stayed true to his word, and Ross Ulbricht is now a free man.
Talk to me about presidential pardons, because, like, how is it as simple as that? Let's say, and I never actually want to put this in a sentence, let's say I'm Trump and I say, hey, Gav, you're out.
Yeah.
Do you just walk out the door there and then?
Once he signs it, it's done, yeah.
That's it,
yeah. We do, like, we have them in Ireland too, but the way Donald Trump uses them is, it's certainly more eye-catching. And the way the US in general, Joe Biden was no stranger to a presidential pardon either. But basically, a head of state can just issue them to overrule anyone's conviction, which traditionally is used to correct things that are later found to be miscarriages of justice. So normally when we see such cases, they do tend to be historical. And the latest example we have in Ireland is the pardoning of Sylvester Boff and James Barrett, who were executed in Tralee all the way back in 1883. But last October, Michael D. Higgins pardoned them 140 years after they were hanged over the murder of a man called Thomas Brown. But that pardon came after a review found inconsistencies in their trial and advised that the evidence against them was flimsy. So well after their death, their names were cleared, which brings a lot of comfort to their families.
Yeah.
And, you know, although it's very, very, very late, it's justice. And other past pardons in Ireland, they'd have similar hallmarks to them.
Yeah, so it's not like we're just letting people out like on the streets right now. Like, it is a lot more common in the States for Trump to go, you, out you go.
Yeah, no, while they're rare here, they certainly aren't in the US. And Ross Ulbricht is only one of a thousands this year alone. Donald Trump also issued full unconditional pardons to almost 1,600 people who were convicted in relation to the Capitol riot in 2021. Now, that was controversial, as many see that day as a direct attack on American democracy. Mm. And those responsible for it, of course, were his supporters. So it's another example of how pardons are used very politically in the States compared to everywhere else.
Back to Ross Ulbricht now for a second. Do you think we're going to hear his name again in the future?
I'm sure we will, yeah. Like, when he was released, he posted on X thanking Donald Trump and proclaimed victory for both himself and his supporters. And then he said, you know, as you can imagine he would, he wants to spend the next while with his friends and his family. Mm. But he did add in that he's going to have a lot more to say in the future when he's ready. So it's just a case of when we're going to hear from him rather than if, I'd imagine.
Gavin, thank you so much for coming in with us today. Genuinely, more of this. Okay, if we could do more of these stories, they'd be absolutely fantastic. That was Gavin O'Callaghan of RT News telling us all about the Silk Road. We'll be right back after these.
FM with Laura Fox. Podcast.